The world's most powerful media mogul, 80-year-old Rupert Murdoch, told members of the British Parliament that today is the most humble day of his life, and he's ashamed of the phone hacking scandal that's engulfed his media empire. Murdoch said he had no knowledge of it, and he's not responsible for it. Today's testimony had to be suspended for a bit after an intruder attacked Murdoch with what appeared to be shaving cream. More on his testimony in a moment, but first, Rupert Murdoch has spent nearly six decades at the helm of his media empire, but is his future now in doubt? Bloomberg News reports that board members might remove him as CEO. Jeffrey McCracken is one of the Bloomberg News reporters on that story. And Jeff, at times, Rupert Murdoch seemed feeble. At other times, he pounded the table. How do you think he came across today?
I don't think it was the performance that the company was looking for. I don't think it was the ideal performance. Part of our reporting yesterday, not just on the board considering a move, was also that within News Corp there was a serious concern with how he had performed in the debate prep, if you will, yesterday, that when he was being asked or when they were trying to prepare him for the kind of questions he would be get asked, he was not performing all that well. He was either evasive or would make comments that made it look like he wasn't totally aware of the situation. And you know how this works is people are just going to see a blip or some clips here and there. And I think one of the statements that will be pulled out will be Rupert saying, "I'm not responsible. This is not my responsibility." I think that's a statement that's not going to play very well. And I also think the video of it shows Rupert looking down at the table a lot. The video of the hearings and testimony shows him looking down and not really paying attention at times, or seeming as if to not be paying attention at times to what's going on there in front of the committee.
He gave some astonishing testimony today. This is Labour MP Tom Watson questioning Murdoch about a previous inquiry into the phone hacking issue.
Did you read our last report into the matter where we referred to the collective amnesia of your executives who gave evidence to our committee?
I haven't heard that, but...
Nobody brought it to your
attention. I don't know who made that particular charge, but it's...
So a parliamentary inquiry found your senior executives in the UK guilty of collective amnesia, and nobody brought it to your attention. I don't see why you think that's not very serious.
Yes, but you're really not saying amnesia, you're really saying lie.
Well, we found your executives guilty of collective amnesia. I would have thought that someone would like to bring that to your attention, that it would concern you. Did they forget?
No.
Jeff, is it this kind of exchange that makes the News Corp board worried that Murdoch can't handle the job anymore?
I think that's the kind of exchange exactly that worries them. If you go back, I think to provide some context, last week he did a lengthy interview with the Wall Street Journal, which he, of course, also owns. And in there, he made a number of comments that struck the board, struck people within the company, and struck outsiders as being a bit tone deaf, if you will, about the situation. He made comments that his company acted appropriately and had done almost everything right. I don't think that was what people were looking to hear. And I would also say that these independent board members are not just concerned about how Rupert looks, but they're also concerned with how they look to the outside world and how they look to shareholders. There's always been a sense that this company operates largely on behalf of Rupert and his family, and we are only a few months removed from News Corp spending roughly $750 million to buy a company from his daughter. So you see events like that, and you've already got an angry shareholder base, and then you pile on that what's gone on the last couple of weeks between his comments, all the accusations of hacking and bribery, and a free fall in the company's shares that have shaved off somewhere between $7 and $8 billion U.S. in the market capitalization of News Corporation.
That's a lot of money, and might it force the Murdochs to sell some of their other papers or other media outlets in the U.K. or the U.S.?
Well, the thing to keep in mind is they probably wouldn't get much for those papers at this point in time. Right now, those papers, newspapers aren't generally doing all that well, as everyone understands, so it's not necessarily a very good time to sell them, and it may never really be a good time to sell them going forward, but you pile on top of that the potential litigation risk and the potential liabilities that are now hanging over the heads of the newspapers, and it's really a poor time to try to move those assets. It's devastating, if you will, for Murdoch that 3% of his company, which is probably roughly what the newspapers are, 3% of the company is causing 99% of his headaches, and that 3% is not worth very much out there in the outside world, but it's sure sure costing his shareholders a lot these days.
If he's removed as CEO, would he stay on at News Corp? And would the company really change if he was no longer CEO?
That's really a good question. I think I would say two things. One, he would only step aside if he could be convinced that was the right way to go. He and his family control roughly 38% of the voting rights for News Corp. So it would be very difficult for board members to force him to move aside. That being said, I think if he were to step down as chief executive, he would step into some sort of executive chairman role, chairman of the board role, so he'd still be influential. To the question of whether News Corp would change, I think it would certainly change over time. Again, we'll go back to the newspaper issue. Rupert was the driving force behind the acquisition of Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal. What you would wonder is if going forward his family and the other management team would want to eventually sell those assets and focus more on the businesses that really are profitable, the Fox News business and the movie business, the film business, that, you know, those are the industries that really do far better for News Corp than the newspapers. And then one other thing I think worth mentioning is the political angle. It's often been thought that his kids are much more liberal, if you will, much more on the left side of the aisle politically than their father. So you wonder to what extent they would change the tone and the direction of some of his holdings here in the United States.
Well, let's talk a little bit about his kids, because one of them, his son, James Murdoch, the heir apparent to News Corp, was sitting at his side answering questions today as well. So let's hear a little bit about what James Murdoch said at the hearing.
First of all, I would like to say as well just how sorry I am and how sorry we are to particularly the victims of illegal voicemail interceptions and to their families. It's a matter of great regret of mine, my father's, and everyone at News Corporation. And these are standards, these actions do not live up to the standards that our company aspires to everywhere around the world.
How did James Murdoch come off in today's testimony?
I thought quite good, to be frank. I thought he came across as someone who is well in charge of the situation and knows what's going on. It, for better or worse, he overshadowed his father. Now, to the extent that there's a plan or that they may consider shifting Rupert out of the CEO role, that could be a good thing long term, that James looks in control and in charge of the situation. He seemed to step in increasing over and over, really, to kind of come to his father's aid at various points in the questioning. That was my impression, and as I was speaking with individuals who were watching it as well, others in the media community or other people on Wall Street, they seemed to have the same impression that James was very much in control of the situation and often stepping in to aid his father at various points.
So where does News Corp go from here?
I think the real question for them is what comes next and how badly will the investigations in the U.S. turn out. There are two possible landmines here in the United States. First, there's the FBI investigation of the allegations that they hacked, that some media outlets within News Corp hacked into the 9/11 victim phones. I think that's the first thing they're going to have to be concerned about. And then second, there is the investigation that the Department of Justice is going to conduct on the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which will look into whether News Corporation bribed or paid money to foreign officials. And if either one of those finds anything, then I think the situation will just grow and explode further, because now it's coming over here to this side of the Atlantic and potentially threatening some of his operations here.
And Rupert Murdoch was even asked today about possibly starting another newspaper, replacing the News of the World. They brushed that off, but they didn't discount it entirely.
That's interesting. In my honest opinion, I think at this point the furthest thing from their mind is opening more newspapers. I think they realize right now that the newspaper business, which shareholders never really loved, especially haven't loved the last couple of years, that newspaper business is something they're going to have to solve that problem. Perhaps once they get past this firestorm, and by solve I mean they're going to have to winnow the assets or figure out a way to sell off those assets if it makes sense at some point down the road. It's definitely something that's been considered at senior levels. You know, how do we get out of the newspaper business at some point? But again, I think at this point they've got to focus on navigating through the landmines in front of them.
Let's talk a little bit more about the dynamic between Rupert and his son James. They were next to each other, and it seemed at times James wanted to come in and help his father's, and at other times James didn't want to give details. What did you read in their relationship there?
I think what I saw there is a son who is trying to navigate a delicate path. He wants to, you know, listen, he's been deemed or viewed as the heir apparent for his father's empire for some time. He realizes his career is on the line right now, so he's going to do his darndest to impress people there in front of the UK hearing, but also to impress people more broadly that are watching on TV. At the same time, he doesn't want to overstep his bounds and come on too strongly and do anything that's going to diminish his father too much. So I think he's navigated that role quite well so far today, from what I can tell, and from, you know, both his appearance and the actual words that he's speaking. I think he's trying to be as forthright as he can, but at the same time, as I said, it's really a delicate situation, because if he comes on too strong or seems too dominant, he's going to make his father, the man who created this empire, is going to make him look bad.
Well, he obviously didn't tell his father about the payments the company was making to the people whose phones were hacked, and journalists who were fired or laid off and were paid off. To keep them quiet about it. Did that surprise you?
It did surprise me, and I think it makes you wonder, and it's going to lead to shareholders wondering as well. It makes you wonder how much is Rupert in control of the day-to-day operations, how much is he being informed of what's going on across his empire. He said time and again that this was the responsibility of the individuals in charge of these various assets. You would think that those individuals, were they stepping outside the lines or taking steps that could damage the company or damage those businesses, you would think they would communicate that up to the chief executive and the founder of All In News Corp. It doesn't appear as if that was the case, and it's not just random managers here or there. It apparently also goes to the level of his son.
Jeff, throughout the scandal, there have been questions about the power Rupert Murdoch's empire holds over British politicians. Here's another exchange between MP Jim Sheridan and Murdoch about that.
Have you ever imposed any preconditions upon a party leader in the UK before giving them the support of your newspapers?
I've never guaranteed anyone the support of our newspapers.
I was actually surprised there weren't more questions along these lines, given the fact that a former News of the World journalist used to work for Prime Minister David Cameron, and another for the former Chief of Scotland Yard. But what else did Rupert Murdoch say about his ties to government?
I think what it shows is, you know, let's step back. There's no way to separate Rupert Murdoch from the political implications, given the importance and given the role that Fox over here in the United States and his newspapers back in the UK have played in elections through the years, whether we're talking about at the very senior levels or the people that he's employed that have been employed at the senior levels in government. There's just no way to separate the two. In anything about Rupert going forward is going to have political implications, I think, over in the UK, and the impact on David Cameron. You know, he's had to cancel, what, two trips now to come back and comment on the matter? And then over here in the United States, it's going to be an Obama-led Department of Justice is going to be investigating Rupert Murdoch. At the same time, his networks at Fox are largely beating up on the president over his handling of the economy.
The
things are so intertwined.
They are, and we'll hear more about them tomorrow as the Prime Minister speaks to Parliament. Jeffrey McCracken is senior media and arts reporter for Bloomberg News. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.